Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Have you ever been cut to the heart? Where someone says something that's so true, so brutally honest about yourself that you have no choice but to simply admit you're right. It's not easy to cut to the heart of another person, because you have to speak in an objective way about the truth, but you also have to speak directly to the person, reaching through to their own subjective and personal experience in some way. What do you think? Are people cut to the heart by Jesus and his teaching today? Is the church relevant to people's lives? If you look at the numbers, baptisms, weddings, and even funerals, they've gone down just about every year in just about every diocese in the country. Americans seem to think that the church simply doesn't matter. Peter preached to 3,000 people who a few weeks before were ready to kill him, just like they killed Jesus Christ. Was Peter irrelevant to them? What about his message? Evidently not. They were cut to the heart. They repented, and most importantly, they joined the church. They didn't just applaud Peter's public speaking skills, and they didn't give him props or likes on Facebook or retweets and shares. They were cut to the heart, and they asked what to do. And Peter told them, be baptized. Baptism, a sacrament, and the official entrance into the church, into the Christian community. Not only was Peter's speech relevant to them, so was his church. But all of it, this whole process of becoming relevant, depends on those present being cut to the heart. But even reaching through to them in that way requires what seems very difficult for many of us. They heard what Peter said, which means that Peter bothered to speak to them about Jesus Christ. And it means that he spoke in a way that they could understand, that struck a chord with them. Whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep, and the sheep hear his voice. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd who calls his sheep, and he is always calling to all people, but he has entrusted his voice to us. Peter was only able to get those 3,000 converts because he bothered to speak. And it's true, we usually won't have his kind of success, but I can guarantee that we will have no converts if we never speak. Just yesterday, I went walking with a few of our parishioners. We've been going door to door on First Saturdays and inviting people to deepen or renew their faith. And I know that many people find it annoying to get a surprise visit in the middle of day on Saturday. I know that it is nerve-wracking to knock on the door of a stranger. And I know that it rarely leads to a sudden conversion right there in the doorway. But I also know that it is way better than nothing. And sadly, for most Catholics, and I mean most Catholics, nothing is all we'll ever get for them in the way of evangelization. Besides that, these visits have worked. Some people have come back to the sacraments because of it. I'll take it. And it's not that everyone has to go door to door, but we must speak of Christ and his church. And I do wish that everyone would at least try door to door once. Because if anyone's going to be cut to the heart, they have to first hear. And if they're going to hear, someone must speak. And perhaps some of you at this moment are calling up that old saying, preach the gospel always, when necessary, use words. It's a clever saying, but there's no proof that St. Francis said that. And do you really preach the gospel with your actions? Would someone who never spoke with you know that you are Catholic? Would they be cut to the heart by your radical example? Or to put it more directly, can you show me someone who is converted without being spoken to? Yes, of course, we can and must speak the gospel without words, proclaiming it by our lives. But it is necessary to use words more often than we'd like to admit. So the question remains, how do I speak of the gospel? Here are four things to remember. First, the Holy Spirit. Peter's preaching begins with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. For us, that means prayer to the Holy Spirit and gradually taking the time to learn how to recognize when the Spirit is nudging us in some way. It takes time and patience, but we can begin to hear him move in our hearts. Secondly, abundant life. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, says, "I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly." So our message should aim for people's deepest hopes and desires. We should speak to their desire for friendship and for love and for overcoming death and suffering and hopelessness. And believe it or not, our deepest desires, all people's deepest desires, include being convicted of our sins and called to conversion and given the chance to change. Because most people know that they are not perfect. They know that they have made mistakes, and they long to be better and are looking for someone to lead them in that way. Thirdly, familiarity. Christ tells us that the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and that they recognize his voice. So having the right information, having the right answers or the right gospel verse is not enough. Yes, the message must stay rooted in the truth, but it must also be personal. Now, this usually means that we have to be a good friend or family member first to develop a relationship of a simple human trust. It also means being authentically who we are and not resorting to gimmicks or tactics that are deceptive. But it also means taking an interest in the other person. So a practical way to make the message familiar is to ask questions, to take the time to learn what the other person really thinks, and to use those questions to lead them to a greater self-reflection. We want people to be familiar with us, but we also want them to be more familiar with their own search for the truth. What do you believe? Why do you believe that? Last of all, the sacraments. Or put another way, it cannot be about us. Yes, our individual experiences and our personality, our relationships, are all important aspects of God's reaching out to others. But they have to move past us as individuals. We must point others beyond ourselves to Christ. Peter doesn't tell the crowd to follow him on the road or to follow him on Twitter or Facebook. He tells them to repent and be baptized, because no one person, neither you or me, is enough to convert and sustain a person's soul through their whole life. But the grace of God given through the whole church is enough. Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. He is the gate. He is the only way to heaven, to eternal life, to abundant life. And we, the church, are his body. He yearns to call out. So I ask, are we silencing God by keeping our mouths shut? Call out. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Speak often of abundant life. Become familiar with the world's search for truth. Use and point to the sacraments. Call out for the world's sake. For Christ's sake, call out.